This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome in. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. I've got a bunch of games I need to update you on, but first, before we get going here, two games about to tip off, one in college basketball and then one in the NBA ranks. And I do have a few plays on the NBA game. So Sacramento's hosting Dallas. Dallas is a 4.5-point road favorite. The total's 233.5. Nothing really jumps out to me side or total wise, but I do have three prop plays. One, we're going to go with Neat Clifford. Off the bench, Keegan Murray is going to be out for a little bit here. I think he gets more run, over 12.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Also for Sacramento, I don't even know who this guy is. I just saw when Murray is out and a few other guys potentially not available that Reynaldo. Yes, Reynaldo is his last name. We're going over 20.5 points and rebounds. He's a center. It's a good matchup against this Dallas front court that has some issues defending centers from a points rebounds perspective. And then on the other side for Dallas, I like Najee Marshall. Now, I bet this when PJ Washington was questionable. I don't know if PJ Washington was officially ruled out. I was on Sirius XM prior to being on here, and I did not see. He was doubtful last I looked for the game, but I think Najee Marshall is the guy who benefits, so I went over 12.5 points on Najee Marshall there. So we're sweating out three NBA plays when it comes to the Mavericks and the Kings. That's Neat Clifford over 12.5 PRA, Reynaldo over 2.5 points and rebounds, and Najee Marshall over 12.5 points. Now, when it comes to the college basketball game about to get going in the Mountain West Conference, San Diego State is on the road at Nevada, up in Reno, and it's a short spread. Wolfpack laying 1.5, totals 141.5. I can't believe I'm saying these words, and I'm going to make it an official play right now, but I'm going to go over in a game involving San Diego State. I'm kind of shocked by that, but you look at what San Diego State has done this year. They can shoot the ball. They're not this muck-it-up team that we've been used to seeing under Brian Dutcher, going back a while, Steve Fisher and all that. Shooting from three, 40.2%, that's seventh best in the country. Nevada just 205 defending the three. On the other side, Nevada's offense for three-point percentage, 66th in the nation, 36.4%. And San Diego State, not elite defending the three right now. I think we're going to go over 141.5, and I literally bet 1, 2, 3, 4 totals today, and they were all unders. I don't often do overs because I just find I'm losing on overs. But I like the over 141.5. We'll make it an official play right now. Let me get it in here. Also, just got a text from someone that I respect who is watching a pro bettor. He likes Russell Westbrook over 26.5 points, rebounds, and assists in the Kings and Mavericks game. So take that for what it's worth with that matchup. Just want to get into my app and get this bet down on San Diego State and Nevada. We can sweat it all out together. I am sweating out a play when it comes to Texas Tech and Houston. We're on the under at 141.5, I believe, is what we got. Right now, it is 55-51, Texas Tech with a lead on the road. They're only 1.5-point favorites, though, despite a 4-point lead and the in-game total down to 137.5. I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch. Is that the saying that people say? Because if you were watching Iowa and Minnesota, maybe you can explain what the heck happened there. I had under 130.5. I got a great number. I had a 129.5 out there, or 128, something like that, last night when I bet it. I was like, oh, great, I got a point of value in an under with these two teams that want to slow it down. And somehow the total ends on 137. Someone explain what happened in that game, because I'm a bit perplexed here. I thought that under was going to cash. Unfortunately, doesn't get home. 70-67, Minnesota with the win outright as 5-point dogs. You know, that's the second time they did that this year. Oh, you know what? I didn't fix my hair today. Let me do that real quick. Doing it on the fly. You like this? This is how the magic's made. Put the gel in, then I knock it out. It gives me the dry look. I'm like Vidal Sassoon over here. Don't like the way it looked all gelled up. I don't like that look. It looks very odd. I'm losing my hair by the day, so I can't have it all pressed down where you can literally see my scalp when it's wet looking. But anyway, Minnesota, second time this year as a home dog, upsetting a Big Ten team. They did it to Indiana a few weeks ago. Nico Medved, man, he doesn't quite have the depth yet for the Golden Gophers, but he can coach. He can coach. And I know Iowa had some foul issues early with Sturts on the road, and he was benched in the first half. But either way, that could have been part of the game plan for Minnesota to target him and make sure he was unavailable. He still finished with 21 points in the contest. But Minnesota gets the dub as Langston Reynolds leads the way with 22-5-4. Cade Tyson added 16-5-4 for Nico Medved. Year one in Minnesota, I mean, he's going to win. Langston Reynolds, a transfer from Northern Colorado, it looks like. So he's got players from all over the place, and it's paying dividends, the move to go to Nico Medved as the head coach there of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So that's where we stand with the action. I'll keep you posted on the games as they unwind here. An update in Lawrence. We've got TCU all over Kansas. Kansas isn't going to be ranked next week. 82-69, under 4 minutes to go. I'm not sure Kansas is going to get right at any point this year. Team's not very good, having a lot of issues aside from just what went on with Darren Peterson to start the year. At Rocky Top, Tennessee with a big lead on Texas, 70-56 right now. And it looks like Wisconsin all over UCLA, 80-69. Man, dead wrong about the UCLA Bruins this year. I was really high on them. I thought they were going to be an interesting team to watch. I thought they were going to be a team that could contend in the Big Ten this year, but that's not going to come to fruition. Even with the addition of Dent, they have a little bit more offense, but it's just not working out. Bucky Ball doing the job on the road in Auburn. I think Auburn's a little overrated. Stephen Pearl taking over for his father. I don't trust them. A&M with an 85-75 lead. They're laying 8.5 up by 10. 176.5 is the total. With all that said, I'm not watching the game, but my thought would be a 10-point lead with Auburn at home trying to make it close. I would think about taking them plus the 8.5, but I wouldn't think about money line or anything like that in that game. And then Wyoming, huge lead on UNLV. Not going well for Josh Pastner. Wyoming 48-24, although Wyoming's pretty good this year. You know, I was looking at that game last night, and I was like, I don't have a good feel for the Mountain West right now. I know a lot of other guys here on the network, they're usually all over the Mountain West. It's a league that I need to watch play out a little bit more before I know who I like. But Wyoming's off to a good start, 48-25. They lead, 34 seconds left in the half. They're 20.5-point favorites. 157.5 is your in-game total. So that's where we stand with the live action. A lot going on here on a Tuesday night, but it's fun, man. It's fun to get back in the mix of basketball, even when some of the NBA player props did not hit today. College basketball is a little bit better. We're probably going to be right around 500, either a little up or a little down by the end of tonight. But either way, I like getting basketball back in the mix. And one thing I'm noticing is the college hoops card, now that we're in conference play, we're getting good matchups like 2, 3, 4 times a week now across the board. It's one of the elements that it appears people kind of sleep on when they complain about the portal. They complain about not being able to keep up with these teams. And I understand it. I'm in the same boat, man. I am not a college hoops junkie. Like, when I was younger, I loved college basketball. As I got older, I just didn't have the bandwidth to keep up with who's moving, who's there, these coaches, who's transferring, who's good, who's not, who's got sanctions. It became a lot at the end. But one thing I'd say is, like, the play across the board, because these teams are investing and they're paying dudes and they're bringing in better rosters, at least for the good teams, like, you're finding competitive basketball every day. There are underdogs who can hang with some of the favorites every single night, and the sport's always been that way, but I feel like more than ever, on any given night, I mean, you can make the case for a lot of underdogs on every single betting card when it comes to college basketball. As right now, it's a 2-point game in Houston. 57-50, Texas Tech is still up, but Houston is the favorite, -1.5, and that total is down to 134.5 in game. All right, we have a fun show lined up for you tonight. We're going to start getting into the college football playoff. You'll hear from Fernando Mendoza. You'll hear from Dante Moore. I am still perplexed about that game. I don't see how I don't lay it with Indiana, but at the same time, beating two teams twice, beating someone like Dan Lanning twice, and I just think that the revenge angle for the Ducks is a lot that you have to factor into your handicap. So we'll do more on the college football playoff, where, as we've talked about numerous times, I've got a 16-1 ticket on the Miami Hurricanes to win the championship, and I took a very small bet on 70-1 as well, but I'm a bit concerned about how confident people are that Miami's just going to roll over Ole Miss, like they're going to run out of steam here. And I understand why that's the thought, But Trinidad Chambliss could be that elixir for that pass rush for Miami. So I want to break that down a little bit later on in the show. All your favorite segments, rank and file, looking at some of the trends in the NBA and college basketball. Plus, we are going to look at Wild Card Weekend from every single angle with a great guest list. Coming up bottom of the hour, James Palmer covers the NFL, insider for a long time for Bleacher Report. He'll be with us. We'll get the lay of the land when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. What went down? Why exactly did they move on from John Harbaugh? And if they're moving on from John Harbaugh, what's the short list to take over the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson now in control of that franchise? In about an hour, John Lund, San Francisco. Can the Niners pull this off on the road? How is Brock Purdy looking going into this matchup from a health standpoint? And with no defense, do they believe that they're capable of making a run here in the playoffs? Our own Ben Stevens, VSiN college analyst, will be with us at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time. Get his thoughts on the college football Final Four, all those semifinal games. 1 a.m. Eastern time, Greg Peterson, VSiN hoops analyst, will be with us. Get his breakdowns on what's a really, really solid Wednesday card in the college basketball ranks. And then finally, 1:30 a.m. Eastern time, Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper, legend of the game. He will be on the program. Best bets in the NFL, college football playoff, and maybe a little college hoops with one Scott Spritzer. All of that over the course of the next 3 hours. It is Cashing Out, VSiN, the sports betting network. And you can head into the year with a smarter betting strategy, powered by becoming a VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every single day. That's the best bets from every single show and host, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, prop tools powered by Opta AI, plus 24/7 video and full show replays over on the VSiN Watch app. You can also get started today, and you'll see all of the guides that we have available. Get started for as little as $9.99, or you can save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. All right, when we return, John Harbaugh was fired. What do the odds say he's going to do next? We'll discuss on the other side of Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Thanks for making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in, you are 15 minutes away from a conversation with NFL insider James Palmer. We'll get his thoughts on not just the John Harbaugh situation, getting let go by the Baltimore Ravens, where he's going to go now, the debate for the New York Giants between him and Kevin Stefanski, and out of those two, whoever doesn't get the Giants job, I mean, where are they going to end up based on all the other openings that are currently out there in the landscape? Plus, get his thoughts on Wild Card Weekend as we've got some line moves we need to discuss across the night here on the program. But we do need to look at the top stories coming out of the National Football League, and we do it every single day with the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
I saw some.
This is 3-Point Stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
Yeah, buddy. All right. I am entering that pick right now on the website, vsin.com/picks, the college hoops play. I did mention San Diego State, Nevada. We're going over 141 in that contest as they're about to get going here. But the NFL, as I alluded to, top story in the league today was John Harbaugh out as Ravens head coach. 180-113 career record. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens a while back. But the way things had devolved this season, I think it was pretty evident that he had lost his touch on the locker room. He'd lost his touch in terms of what he was looking at as a head coach and evaluating his team and putting them in a position to close out wins. Week one against Baltimore, against Buffalo, they were up 34-19 in the fourth quarter, lost that game. Against the Patriots in week 16, they allowed 15 fourth quarter points in that game. But in the end, it was a great career. It was a great run. But all these things come to an end at some point in time. It feels very reminiscent of the end of Andy Reid in Philadelphia, the end of Pete Carroll in Seattle. You can have a lot of success, but sometimes at the end, you just need a new set of eyes and you need someone else to come in and see if they can get something different out of this team. And when you're the Baltimore Ravens and you have a quarterback in Lamar Jackson who's won two Super Bowls, and you're not getting over the hump, you're not even making AFC title games, you have to make a change. And the change that you can make realistically is finding another head coach. Making the change and moving on from a guy who's won two MVPs, that would be a difficult pill to swallow, especially if he goes on somewhere else and ends up achieving everything that you believed he could with your franchise. But look, John Harbaugh took them to the playoffs 12 times. The last 4 years, he was still very good outside of this year, 8-9 this year, but previously 10-7, 13-4, 12-5. And the reports coming out from Diana Rossini of The Athletic say that a key pressure point in Harbaugh's firing was he refused to entertain moving on from OC Todd Monken. I also saw the same report when it comes to defensive coordinator Zach Orr. And while I'd say it's a bit foolhardy for self-preservation purposes, I'd say as a leader, I kind of love him falling on the sword. Now, maybe this is me, the Giants fan, speaking and wanting him to take over the New York Giants. But I respect that him as a leader wasn't willing to throw his OC, his DC under the bus after one bad year and say that they can learn, they can grow, they can make adjustments as well. In the end, it cost him his job. But at the same point in time, I earned respect for the guy as a human being. This was a divorce, though. Don't get it twisted. The Ravens had a choice. They could either back their quarterback in Lamar Jackson, because despite what he's been saying, I think there really is a disconnect between him and John Harbaugh. Or they can go with Harbaugh, the guy who brought him a Super Bowl, but at the same point in time is in his 60s. How many great years does he have left is the question. And is he good enough to still win a Super Bowl? Does he have his fastball? After this move, Adam Schefter with a report that in the first 45 minutes after hearing John Harbaugh was fired this afternoon, his agent Brian Harlan said he received calls from seven NFL teams expressing interest in his client. Here's the key to that. There's only six openings outside of Baltimore, and I don't think Baltimore was hitting him up trying to find out if Harbaugh would be interested. So that means there's another team that currently has a head coach employed by the organization that wanted to know if Harbaugh would come available. Who is that mystery team? Is it the New York Jets potentially moving on from Aaron Glenn after year one? I tell you they should. I don't believe they will, but if I was them, I would. Is it the Miami Dolphins? That is a good fit for Harbaugh. Oh, that is a great fit for him. Potentially to go to Miami. And I like Mike McDaniel. McDaniel will probably get another job somewhere. There's rumors that he might be in the mix for Cleveland if he becomes available. That's a wild call by Jimmy Haslam and company there. But who is that team that'd be willing to get rid of their head coach if John Harbaugh became available? Because I'm having trouble pinpointing outside of Miami who that could possibly be here. Because everyone else who's employed, either Todd Bowles maybe in Tampa Bay, so the two Florida teams, those would be two of the teams that I would think would have called his agent to find out if he could become available. And then Schefter also tweeted, John Harbaugh is expected to emerge as a favorite for the head coaching job of the New York Giants. We look at the odds that have been posted by the DraftKings Sportsbook. These are where we stand. And the Giants are your favorite at plus 150. The Raiders are 4.5-1. The Falcons, 6.5-1. The Titans, 8-1. The Browns, 10-1. And the Cardinals, no odds available over at DraftKings. And, you know, I did something I've never done today. After I saw that John Harbaugh was let go, because as a Giants fan, I was waiting for this news, because I was saying to myself, all right, it's Stefanski, but if Harbaugh becomes available, it's Harbaugh. So I went to Kalshi for the first time, and I did place my first, what do you call it, prediction? It's not a bet. I think if you call it a bet, it's a bad look. Something prediction, and took a little nibble on Harbaugh. It's a little bit above even money at that point in time. I'll tell you what it is right now for Harbaugh to be the next head coach of the Giants. Giants coach, let's see. Harbaugh was 48% when I took it. It's now 59% on Harbaugh. Stefanski's 19%. McCarthy's 9%. They got Halfley at 5%. And Cliff Kingsbury at 8%, which is a great transition here because, in case you missed it, some coordinators were let go across the league, most notably in Washington, as Dan Quinn cleared house. He got rid of not just offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, but also DC Joe Witt Jr. Grant Paulson, good friend of mine, 106.7 The Fan host, he put out on social media, I'm told Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury disagreed over several things. Run-pass balance being high on the list. It also seems DQ has a different vision for what's best for the long-term development of Jaden Daniels. Cliff runs a very unique college-like system. DQ may want a more traditional NFL look for Daniels moving forward. I think it's a bit perplexing. Because Cliff Kingsbury did a lot in Daniel's rookie year and actually was pretty serviceable this season with Daniels going down and Mariota at quarterback. They still finished 16th in EPA per play. So the offense was still solid despite the injuries and the issues. Now, I understand firing Joe Witt Jr. as the DC, but at the same point in time, Dan Quinn, aren't you technically the DC of this team? If I was a Washington Commanders fan, I'd be concerned about the direction of this organization because Dan Quinn hit the ground running, and that might be as good as it gets. I'm not sure there's more meat on the bone there. You might have seen the best that he has to throw, and now as we get further into Jaden Daniels' career when you eventually have to pay him, that could be a hindrance as well for a guy in Dan Quinn who just doesn't win on the margins traditionally as a head coach. Also in Detroit, the Lions announced today they have parted ways with OC John Morton. I mean, that was inevitable. We all saw that coming because that offense from Ben Johnson to whoever was going to call plays next was always going to take a step back. But under John Morton, they really lacked creativity. They lost key games that they should have been in. They got punked by a lot of teams they probably shouldn't have got punked by. Dan Campbell essentially fired him during the year, but kept him on in a limited role. And he'll go get another job as a quarterback coach, an assistant somewhere, probably back with Sean Payton. But the big question is, who does Detroit hire for that OC job? Is it Cliff Kingsbury? Because I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury works with a guy like Jared Goff, who's not mobile. It's a bit of a gimmicky offense, but we'll see. It's a pivotal hire for the Dan Campbell era. They need to get this right. They need to maximize this window because that window is starting to close in the Motor City. And then finally, the Cowboys fired DC Matt Eberflus. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. But at the same point in time, you traded away Micah Parsons. Your corners were never healthy. I'm not sure what he was supposed to do with that defense, but he'll go get another job as a linebacker coach or DC somewhere. I mean, he'll be employed at the NFL level. He's certainly not going to do TV. We know that much. So that's where we stand with the coordinators letting go. And our final story in the three-point stance, the top stories in the National Football League, some injury updates for you when it comes to wild card weekend. First in the Rams and Panthers, where last I looked, this was up to 10.5. Even DraftKings got up to 10.5 last I looked. Devontae Adams listed as a full participant in today's practice. Tight end Terrence Ferguson did not practice in the walkthrough today for the Rams. But at the same point in time, they're getting Tyler Higbee back. I'm not sure where Ferguson would fit in anyway. The Rams activated safety Quinton Lake off IR, and the Panthers offensive guard Chandler Zavala dealing with a calf. He was expected to practice earlier today. I'm seeing 10.5 across the board outside of Circa, who has 11. 46.5 the total in the Rams and the Panthers. Niners and Eagles. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson practiced today for the Eagles, or was expected to practice today. He had a Lisfranc injury back in mid-November. The Eagles are 18-28 straight up in games that Johnson hasn't played during his career. Getting him back would be huge because that's their identity, running the football, being able to push at that offensive line at the point of attack, especially for that tush push. Lane Johnson, massive for them there. Vic Fangio said in his press conference that they expect linebacker N'Kobe Dean to play, and the 49ers added a linebacker. Kazir White joins them to add a little bit of depth to a linebacking core that's been banked up. And then Packers-Bears, Dontavian Wicks for Green Bay limited in the walkthrough today. Chicago announced Kyle Gordon, the corner. Offensive lineman Braxton Jones designated to return from injured reserve. Roma Dunze limited with a foot. DJ Moore limited with a knee, but you expect both of them to give it a go in a game where that total has dropped a point, 46.5 down to 45.5. I lean to the over. But what happens with all these coach vacancies? Where does John Harbaugh go? We'll discuss it all on the other side of Cashing Out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you from the Circa Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas. A couple quick college basketball updates. A&M closes it out against Auburn 90-88. We said take the 8.5 with about 33 seconds to go. So that ends up covering with Auburn, but A&M gets the victory on the road. Houston came back to beat Texas Tech 69-62. Your final, we cashed an under 141.5 in that one. And now it's time to talk about the story of the day, because unless you're living under a rock, I think everyone had the same kind of reaction to John Harbaugh being let go by the Baltimore Ravens. Well, Okay, the old Rob Ryan quote is about to come true. He's going to be unemployed for all of 5 minutes. To help us digest that and understand what it means for the landscape of the NFL, we're going to go to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in James Palmer, Bleacher Report, NFL Insider, 104.3 The Fan, host of Scoop City on the Athletic podcast, plus 89 with Steve Smith, which should be dropping a new emergency episode where they talk about John Harbaugh very soon. So talk to me, man. You see the news, you're probably not blown away and shocked by it, but it still became a reality that a guy with the record and the resume of John Harbaugh became available. What was your reaction to the news?
You know, I put something out on The Athletic, Dustin, a couple weeks ago that was, hey, whatever happens in week 18 between the Steelers and the Ravens, there might be some movement. There was a different feeling around the Ravens facility and around the Ravens building than in years past. We've always heard some rumblings. There's always been fans, and fans are always looking for a change, right? They don't always look at what might be the other side of things, even though as successful as Harbaugh has been. But there's always been somewhat of rumblings, what's going on. But the feeling around the building was a little bit different. But you still never heard anything because Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, and John Harbaugh have a very unique relationship. He only reports to Steve Bisciotti. Eric DaCosta is not involved in that. It's directly to the owner. They're very close. Bisciotti has a very small circle. He doesn't speak to the media. So nothing was really going to get out other than through other avenues that you were thinking could possibly be a reason why missing the playoffs, obviously being one of them, in an opportunity where there's no Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes playing an aspect to it. But then when the news came out, you said, okay, I kind of do understand it. But where things stand right now, and we can get to John Harbaugh, but with the Ravens specifically, there is now an opening that doesn't come along very often. And you mentioned the emergency, you know, pod that I'm doing with Steve, and we taped it tonight. You know, Steve knows everything about that building playing there, and I have a lot of information there as well. And it's this: I got a text from an executive with another team after this news dropped, and it said specifically, the Baltimore Ravens are the best-run organization in professional sports. That doesn't come open as a job opening very often with the GM that they have, the ownership, the patience, the stability, the resources, and MVP at quarterback. Like, this type of opening doesn't come around very often, and that's what I'm fascinated about with how they fill it, because with everything I said, they can be creative. They can do it a couple of different ways. I'm fascinated to see how they approach their search, which would be just their fourth head coach in their 30-year history.
Yeah, that's a great point, because if you're going to let John Harbaugh go, you better be bringing in someone in who knows how to step up and contend and bring another Super Bowl to Baltimore. I mean, he went 8-9 this year. He's only had a couple of 8-win seasons along the way, won a Super Bowl. Prior to that, we're talking 10 wins, 13 wins, 12 wins for Harbaugh. So that means he's going to be a commodity in the market. Obviously, the Giants are a team that seems to be what most people think are going to be the number one team that's in on Harbaugh. Who do you think realistically is the list? Because John Harbaugh is going to choose who he wants to go to.
Yeah, he certainly is. And I would look for this. His entire career has been based off of stability. We know the 18 years that he spent with the Ravens. He was in Philadelphia for an eternity before that. Like, he only knows stability. I would think if he looks at these organizations, i.e. maybe say the Raiders, who have six coaches in 6 years, is that the type of organization that fits what I'm used to, which is a lot of stability, a lot of history. You look at where he's been. I think you're right. I think the Giants do check a lot of those boxes. I've heard reports. I haven't heard it firsthand about, you know, his affinity maybe for Jackson Dart, but they have a lot of pieces there in New York that job was already somewhat appealing because that is, again, a marquee franchise. But you have a number one wide receiver. You have a really up-and-coming running back on a rookie contract. You have the quarterback I mentioned. You have a left tackle. You have a lot of defensive pieces. There's a lot to like about that job, certainly. But I do think he's going to look around. I think he's probably, just like Kevin Stefanski, somewhat energized about a change of scenery, probably Kevin a little bit more than John Harbaugh, considering their situations. But I think both of them, Dustin, honestly, if they don't see something that fits them perfectly, would be completely comfortable with taking a year off. I know that's probably not their thinking right now. You always want to jump right back into it and see where else you can go to kind of change a culture and create something your own right away. But I do think they both have the ability to take a year if they'd like to. And with Kevin specifically, remember how close he is to Mike Vrabel. And Vrabel spent time in their building during his year off and how that's paid off for him in New England. I do think they both have options. Kevin was at the top of the group and a lot of people I talked to around the league. Now Harbaugh has probably jumped him a little bit, but those two candidates are head and shoulders above the rest of the group right now.
Chatting with Bleacher Report NFL insider James Palmer with us at James Palmer TV on X. Well, here's the wrinkle I want to throw your way, because, you know, after Monday came around, we looked at the openings. There were six jobs that were available in the NFL, and I think it still felt like it was unsettled. Harbaugh became available today, which added to that. Is there a world where we wake up tomorrow and someone lets go of their coach because they want to pursue John Harbaugh potentially here? Or do you believe the six openings that are out there for Harbaugh to go to, and then obviously Baltimore, that's what we're going to look at this offseason?
Well, I would say there was a specific reason why, you know, John Harbaugh's representation has been making sure that as many reports are out there that people are interested in him within buildings that still have a head coach under contract. I think they want as many opportunities to look at in terms of different locations for him to have his next landing spot. I do think there's interest in him, and I do think that's why some teams wait a minute. You know, usually, you know, there's a new Mark Davis now with Tom Brady involved, but usually Mark would wait a couple of days before he moved on from a head coach. They did it right away. Some teams still do wait. Todd Bowles will meet with the Glazer family tomorrow, to my understanding. So there's still a second there in Tampa Bay, which I was kind of told to keep an eye on. If week 18 didn't go their way and they missed the playoffs here, I think he still has every right to stay with three division titles in his first 3 years there. And he signed that new contract last year. But I do think some teams maybe may take pause in terms of what they're going to do with their head coach. I do think they wouldn't make a move unless they realistically think they have a chance at John Harbaugh. And that due diligence is happening right now.
Yeah. James Palmer's with us, Bleacher Report NFL insider. Check out his podcast, Scoop City with The Athletic, 89 with Steve Smith, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's stay in the NFC South, as you mentioned Tampa Bay there. I mean, Raheem Morris out. It feels like the right move. I was nervous Arthur Blank wasn't going to do it because he's such a loyal, good guy and he wants to give people a fair shake. What are you hearing about the Atlanta job? Because theoretically, that roster's pretty good, has some weapons, the defense improved, and you're going to be linked with a new GM coming in together. What are you hearing about the Falcons opening?
It's the most unique opening I've perhaps ever seen, honestly. And it's not because of the roster. It's not because of Arthur Blank. It's because you have a search group and a consulting firm operating with your general manager search and a completely different consulting firm operating with your head coaching search. And by the way, they most likely will both be reporting both positions to the president of football, which I've never heard that title before in my life either. It looks like it deserves a scepter of some sort, but the president of football could very well be Matt Ryan. They are interviewing other candidates for sure, but it could be Matt Ryan, who is a guy who has no front office experience by any stretch, and obviously have had a tremendous career in the NFL, was a really good high school player against James Palmer up in Philadelphia. But I will say, like, it's such a unique setup that I think going into it, you're kind of asking a lot of questions as a candidate. I do think your affinity for Michael Penix plays a huge part in the people that are be interested in that. I would look at, like, is Kevin Stefanski interested? Let's connect the dots here. Okay, like, you know what kind of offense that Matt Ryan played really well in. It was a Kyle Shanahan offense. That's kind of similar to what Kevin runs. Like, does that play a factor? Like, we don't really know what to look at with that job opening because there's kind of some unknowns if Matt Ryan's going to be kind of the guy sitting above this and will be the one reporting essentially to Arthur Blank with both head coach and GM. But sometimes when both openings are there, sometimes the job's a little bit more appealing. Jacksonville got more appealing after Trent Baalke was relieved of his duties halfway through their search when guys wanted that change. I'm fascinated, though, because it really was Terry Fontenot was going to be out. That was kind of known. There was people on that staff, and Raheem Morris possibly included, thought maybe they did a good job of saving their jobs down the stretch. But the consulting firm that was there for the 2 months really kind of said cleaning house was the best bet. And Arthur Blank listened. And it seems like when I talk to people in that building, at 83 years old, he's doing anything he can to try to win a Super Bowl. It's a fascinating setup that we've never seen before.
No, I want him to win one. I lived in Atlanta for a while, and I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a good dude. He matters for the city. James Palmer, you're a good dude. I appreciate you doing this. I know it's an absolutely crazy time of year for you. Bleacher Report, NFL Insider, 89, the podcast with Steve Smith, Scoop City, the podcast with The Athletic, and at James Palmer TV on X. Thanks as always, my friend, and we'll chat again soon.
Appreciate it. We didn't even get to Tom Brady.
We didn't. There's too much to get to. It's going to be a crazy, crazy offseason in the National Football League. I have some updates for you, including a team that I buried in our opening segment. They're now in overtime at home, and they're up by one. I'll share who that is next on Cashing Out. Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. 15 minutes from now, we'll have a conversation with John Lund. Looking ahead to Wildcard Weekend, can San Francisco pull it off on the road? Because the second the odds came out, I saw that number of +3.5, which got bumped up to 4, 4.5. I was like, you know what? I feel like sportsbooks are trying to bait me into taking that number, trying to say Philly has issues on offense, San Francisco should be able to score on the road and hang with them. I stayed away. I don't know what to do with that game from any perspective. Side, total, player props, I have nothing currently invested there. I have nothing invested in Kansas and TCU. And the one thing I did say at the start of the show is Kansas is probably going to be unranked next time the rankings come around because they were losing to TCU. Let me see what the lead was. Right now we're in overtime with 50 seconds to go. 97-94, the Jayhawks have gotten the lead back from the Horned Frogs, who are about to pull off a win on the road. Darren Peterson with 32 points in this game. TCU was up 16 in the second half, blew the lead, and now they're potentially going to lose the game. So bad look there for Jamie Dixon on the road. Fun fact, Jamie Dixon has my phone number blocked. I don't know why. I don't know what I did. I probably just reached out to him to do a radio hit one time, but he blocked my number, which it's kind of it's all I got when it comes to Jamie Dixon. He's got good hair. That's it. 99-97 looks like is the score right now. Kansas with 24 seconds to go is up by two. They're -1450 on the money line. 7.5-1 the other way for TCU right now. Our bet on the over with San Diego State and Nevada looking pretty good early on. We'll see. You know, I bet a bunch of unders today, and I was nervous at the jump because all the totals got pushed up in game early in the first half, and then they settled back down, and the under ended up cashing. So we went over 141 with San Diego State and Nevada. Right now, it is 31-25. Wolfpack with the lead over the Aztecs, 31-25. They're laying 5.5. Nevada is 149.5, the in-game total. I'm not going to try to be cute like I've done too often on Live Bet Saturday, where I try to bet the under and look for a few point middle. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to let it ride. I just think both offenses are going to continue to score a bit here in conference play. And speaking of Live Bet Saturday, my co-host Ben Stevens going to join the program at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time. He's going to have to talk me down because I'm very nervous as a Miami fan, as a Miami backer, of everyone just assuming Miami's going to the national title game. I mean, it's Mario Cristobal with expectations. How quickly you people turn from hammering a guy that comes up short every single time you start to believe that he's changed and just losing games for his team. Why do you believe now? What has changed that makes you believe now? It's Carson Beck going up against an Ole Miss defense that is pretty familiar with his game. They have tape on him for the last few years. They know what he can and can't do as a quarterback. I am terrified of this matchup and everyone just assuming that Miami's going to move on past Ole Miss because of everything going on behind the scenes. No. I think everything going on behind the scenes is galvanizing the team. I think it's bringing them together. And unfortunately for Miami, it's going to be a close game. I will be taking the +3.5 on the Rebels to hedge my bets and maybe a little bit on that money line as well to get some buyback on my 16-1 and a little nibble on 70-1 when it comes to that game coming up on Thursday. Some other scores from around college basketball. Fresno State up 70-55 on the road at San Jose State. Just 34 seconds to go there. Wyoming with a 67-43 lead early in the second. 11:52 to go on UNLV. Wyoming's laying 22.5. Total's 159 and a hook. Our lone late night NBA game we've got going on. We have a few plays we're sweating, and they're not going well thus far. But we'll see how they shake out throughout the game. Kings up 35-27 on Dallas. You know, I thought about Sacramento. I just couldn't get there. But they've jumped out to a lead, 35-27 on the Mavericks at home for the Kings. Getting you an in-game number right now. It's Dallas minus 1.5, in-game total 229.5. Where did this total close? Total close 232.5. I'd consider a bet on the over right now, a few points of a discount off of that. I'd think about over 228.5, and I think about laying it with Dallas. I don't think they're going to lose this game on the road with Flag and AD and a lot of key guys available when they've had so many injuries. Just PJ Washington, the only injury I saw. There may be someone I'm missing that might have gotten ruled out right before tip-off, but I still think Dallas pulls off the win despite them trailing right now to the Kings on the road. In case you missed it earlier, some games that are our final. Cleveland beat Indiana 120-116. The under gets home. Indiana cashes plus the 6.5 at home. It got bet down from 8.5 to 6.5. Either way, it covers for the Pacers as home dogs in that game. We did hit DeAndre Hunter over 20.5 points and rebounds in that game. Bad game for us with Orlando, Washington. Nothing went the way we thought it would. So bad calls on my part. You know, the Anthony Black train might have gotten a little bit out of hand with the player props. It was up to 29.5 PRA. We went over on it. I questioned if we had reached peak on that. I think that is the peak. It should start to come back down. I'm probably going to lay off of him for a couple of games just to see how he responds. Also, we missed on Wendell Carter as it was Washington pulling off the win. 120, 112, under 235.5 gets home. But Orlando was a 9-point favorite at open. They closed at 7.5. Doesn't matter. Washington wins outright. It feels like a couple times now over the last month, we're talking about the Wizards, despite them being awful, pulling off some outright wins as home dogs. So something to consider and think about in selective chances. I wouldn't say just blindly bet Washington in terms of being a home dog, but if you like the matchup, depending on who they're facing, I do think there could be some value there. San Antonio and Memphis. Without Ja Morant, the Grizzlies get the dub. 106-105, under 239, easily gets home. That total was pushed. 236 up to 239.5, and it finishes with, what, 211 scored, as it was a cover and outright win for Memphis at home, catching the 5.5. Wemby on a minutes restriction. We had a bet Cam Spencer over his PRA. That ends up cashing in that game. We lost two bets in Miami and Minnesota as the Timberwolves, who closed as 5.5-point favorites. They cover that number, winning 122-94. The under 238.5 cashes with the T-Wolves picking up the win. You know, no risk it, no biscuit. Sometimes you take chances with these player props. I saw Anthony Edwards was questionable. I saw there were some issues with some injury management. I just thought, you know what, against Miami, who they were resting someone today. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Tyler Hero, I don't believe. Jaime Jaquez, I believe, was resting in this one. There was a chance Edwards didn't play. So I took a flyer on DiVincenzo over PRA, who ends up getting a few more assists when Edwards is out of the lineup. And then I dabbled with Naz Reid over points and rebounds and assists because he does benefit from a few more buckets without Anthony Edwards on the floor. Edwards played. Those two were dead on arrival. Unfortunately, those are two losses for us. Lakers and the Pelicans. Lakers won 111-103. The under 245.5. And the under cashes. We ended up with, what, 214 points in the game as the, let's see, 8 points. The Lakers cover the 5.5 on the road. We bet DeAndre Ayton over on his 8.5 rebounds. He had 10 last I looked. I'm just curious because, you know, New Orleans, Washington, those are two teams that I do like to attack with big men who grab boards. DeAndre Ayton had 11 rebounds in this game against New Orleans. In fact, file this away for whenever the Lakers play the Pelicans next. I don't know when that is. I think they've already played them 3 times now. But 11 rebounds in that game for Ayton at New Orleans. He played them back on November 30th. He had 12 rebounds. He played them on November 14th. He had 16 rebounds. He kills them. He had 18 and 11 and 3 tonight. The last time out, he had 22, 12 and 1. And the time before that, he had 20, 16 and 2. They can't defend bigs, especially bigs who are aggressive on the glass, who can put back shots, who can be physical. Yeah, I'm not a big matchup guy usually when it comes to my player props. It's usually dependent on someone being out of the lineup. But I was just looking at Ayton's numbers against the Pelicans recently, and I was like, you know what? That's the play. Go New Orleans. I mean, go with Ayton going up against that New Orleans front court. So that's where we stand when it comes to the NBA right now. We've got college basketball we're sweating out. We've got NBA we're sweating out. And I traditionally on Saturdays am sweating out Buffalo Wings. I'm a flats guy. I'm not a drums guy. I just think the flats, you acquire a crispier skin. They absorb the whatever seasoning or sauce that you want to put on it. I think drums are severely overrated, but hey, you can get wings right now for Omaha Steaks. They're tremendous. I know a lot of people love them. And football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for more details. Now, in terms of my rankings when it comes to Buffalo Wings, we're going to talk wings here. Look, there's a few things I'm an expert on, and Buffalo Wings is one of them. My favorite flavors I've ever had, number one, with a bullet. It only existed for a brief time in college at this random bar where I'm pretty sure it was just a front to deal drugs out of the back. But the cook there, who had like four teeth in his head, he made raspberry hot wings. So it was buffalo hot sauce with some sort of raspberry, but it was like artificial raspberry, not like real raspberry. So it tasted better than real raspberries. Best wings of my life. Number one, mango habanero. Number two, hot number three. And then any of the sweet stuff, that's for children. Don't be doing barbecue and teriyaki and all that other stuff. Get out of here. All right. Can the 49ers upset the Eagles on the road? And how far can the run go for San Francisco? We'll break it down next on Cashing Out.